Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin, and I am your one true host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
One true host for now, brother.
For now. One true host for always.
We shall see. One day there will be a glorious swing on the Patreon page, and it will catch everybody off guard, including me.
All the people who have gotten so used to the regularly scheduled Ben Carlin style.
Indeed.
Buzzy B
over there.
What's popping, everybody?
Yeah.
It's going to be like, what's popping, everybody?
That your impression of me?
Hey, guys, what's popping? My name is Jonathan Carlin. I like Pokemon.
He's mocking
and
me.
And beanbag chairs.
I don't like beanbag chairs.
I love beanbag chairs.
Beanbag chairs are like the worst.
Is that a strong opinion about things that don't matter?
That is a strong opinion. We're going to circle back to beanbag chairs because I don't want to forget our corny joke.
Okay, okay.
It's my one responsibility.
Is what you're... As co-host.
Exactly.
Okay, Jay, what did the policeman say to his belly button?
What did the police... I don't know. What did the policeman say to his belly button?
You're under a vest.
Oh, under a vest.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, you get it. You get it.
I get it.
Oh, you didn't laugh. No, that's not as I was expecting.
Do policemen wear vests?
I believe that they wear vests at all times.
At all times?
I believe so.
Okay. Maybe, I guess like a bulletproof vest.
Yeah, that kind
perhaps
of vest.
That kind of vest?
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
It seems to me that the kind of policeman who speaks to his belly button is maybe not the kind who's out in the field in danger.
Wait, say that again?
It seems to me that the kind of police officer who is speaking to his belly button is probably also not the same guy you want out there, like, holding a gun.
What is the frequency at which you speak to your own belly button?
I would say never.
Never. Morning, belly button.
Yeah, no. No.
Okay, so I have another one because it was first sent from one of the colonels, Palmer. Okay. So thank you for this corny joke, but it's also semi-connected to our cop humor. What do you call an alligator detective?
An investigator?
That's correct!
Yay!
Also wearing a vest.
Also wearing a vest.
That's how it was connected.
Investigator.
Yeah. Investigator, man. I can't believe we had to ask if cops wear vests.
I guess it's just common knowledge. If you're a police officer, first of all, thanks for listening on the job. Good for you. And also, let us know what's your favorite kind of vest. Or do you wear vests?
And have you named your belly button?
Yes. Also, please let us know that. Please let us know that. So let me circle back here to beanbag chairs.
Okay, we're back to beanbags.
Because they're the worst.
The worst?
Yeah, no, I don't like... Do you enjoy beanbag chairs?
Well, if you recall... For a period of time, while we lived together, we didn't have beanbag chairs. We had those love sacks.
This is what I was going to talk about.
Okay.
So when you and I were roommates, we stumbled upon a store called Love Sack.
Yes.
And you went, typical Ben Carlin fashion,
typical.
Went big on the love sacks.
I would say I went huge.
I would say you went huge, which is saying something, because the gimmick of the love sack is that it's already a huge beanbag.
It is, like, truly gigantic. Like,
yes.
It's one of those things where if it is in a room that is well-proportioned for it, it's really nice.
Yeah.
All of the rooms I've ever had them in are not well-proportioned for it.
Right.
And it took up, like... The whole room.
It took up the whole room, and then you got a second one.
And then I got a second one.
Yeah.
And briefly in college, I got a third one.
You had three.
I had three, yeah.
I didn't even know.
Yeah. No,
okay.
I got so into it, and I was so excited. So I bought the first one, and it showed up, and I was like, this is the best. Mm. I can't wait to have this experience again.
Yeah.
Because they come in these like vacuum sealed,
right,
gigantic suitcases.
Moving them is a problem.
It is, yeah. It literally takes. Do you remember when we moved it from my college apartment to the house that we lived in together?
Yeah, it took up like the whole truck bed.
Yeah, the whole truck bed. I think we have a really good picture of you like ran and jumped off of a cement wall and like
landed
on
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the love sack is a great example of a store you love to visit at the mall because it's so fun to play on them. And it's the kind of item you want your friend to have so you can go and like sit on it and be like, ah. And it's maybe it's even good if one, you have the appropriately sized room and this is important, you have other available seating.
Yeah. That was sort of the problem, wasn't it?
Like, that was the problem.
We did it in exchange for a traditional couch.
Right. For a good while, instead of chairs or couches, we had two love sacks.
Two gigantic love sacks.
Yes.
One of them was sort of like I would say almost like sweatshirt material, but like much more durable.
Yeah.
It kind of like looked jersey-ish.
Right.
And the other one was cow fur with a P-H-U-R.
Oh, cow fur.
Cow fur.
Cow fur.
Which, incidentally, I still have the blanket that came with my cow fur package.
Yeah.
One of my all-time favorite blankets.
Oh, okay.
It's a really cozy blanket,
well,
truly.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah,
that's
not true. Actual cow fur, to be clear.
Do cows have fur? Cow hair? I don't know.
People make rugs. No, they don't make rugs out of cow hide.
Is that a skunk butt rug?
A skunk.
That's from Zootopia.
Nice.
But so anyway, the point is, we owned what has to be the pinnacle, the highest quality beanbag chairs on the market.
Agreed. Yo, for sure. The quality is truly fantastic.
Yeah. I can tell you that whilst it is a fun novelty, it is absolutely not a permanent seating solution.
It is a tremendous, ironically, pain in the butt for something that is so comfortable on the butt.
On the butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were weird issues, one of which is that they were big enough that they were like kind of intended for two people to sit on one.
Right.
Which very frequently, like, you know, if it was you and Beth sitting on there, it's like it is large enough for you to both fit on there in a way that like makes sense. But inevitably after like watching a movie, you are like squished shoulder to shoulder into one another because of the, you know, way that physics and gravity work.
There's no sharing the love sack with someone you're not in a relationship with.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, and the other thing about them too is that they were filled with like this memory foam material. So there's this phenomenon where like when you're like, especially if you're at the store, if you go and like plop on one, you are like, there are no more comfortable seats on the entire planet.
Sure.
But also if you sit on it, for again, 2 hours, all of that has like compressed to the point where it is like strangely rigid.
Yeah.
And you would have to fluff the sack.
Fluff the sack.
Yeah. So we'd fluff the sack regularly. This, I mean, I would say daily was, you know.
It you become a bit of a snack snob.
Yeah.
If I would say. At first you're like, it's such a fun thing that you'll just sort of plop on it. Maybe you fluff the sack once a week or something.
Sure.
But I think before we got rid of them, I was fluffing it basically before I sat down every time.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. And the thing about it too is that I'm pretty sure it weighed about 65 pounds.
It was quite a maneuver too, because the way you fluff it is you pick it up from the bottom and you have to do some sort of like a
almost like a deadlift with like a toss at the end of it.
Yeah, like you're picking it up and doing like a full body underhand throw so it flips in the air and lands oblong so all the memory foam will squish out in the directions it's not presently set at.
Yes, exactly.
Because also what you're creating with your love sack every time you sit on it is a really short, unexciting slide, too.
Right.
That eventually...
An unexciting slide.
Yeah, you're just like, it's the world's slowest slide, and if you keep sitting there, and now you're just going to keep inching down and down and down and down and down and down until where at first your feet would have been off the floor. Suddenly, they are both on the floor.
Suddenly, all at once.
Yeah, so it's like falling asleep.
Right. Yeah. I like it. That's good. Yeah. The thing about the other thing about the love sacks is that we had them for a good long while we lived together, but eventually we were like, okay, we should change this and we should get couches.
Yeah.
One of which is the couch that is on the Super Carlin Brothers set for our YouTube channel.
You're right! We could not have replaced them with more the opposite comfort level.
Wait, say, explain what you mean by that sentiment.
I mean, so the sacks, which are comfy at first.
Yes.
Right. The couch that is on the Super Carlin Brothers set, that black couch, is just not comfortable.
It is basically a prop.
Like, yeah.
I would say that it is like almost not even a functioning couch.
I would agree. That you can sit on it is sort of like, well, like, you can sit on it in the way that you can sit on the stairs, you know?
Like, right. Like, technically, it won't break.
Yeah.
But will it serve as a comfortable or worthwhile seat in any way, shape, or form? No. And we got that couch, if I recall, from your coworker who was literally, like, left it on the curb.
Yes.
And was like, hey, I just put, like, a black leather couch on the curb. If anybody wants it, go grab it. And we were like, okay.
Yeah. It was not even that. I felt like he was weirdly impolite about the transfer. It was like he sent out an email to the whole office like, hey, I'm giving away my couch. I'm moving to a new place. You know, I need to get rid of my couch. Does anyone want it? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, when can you come pick it up? And it was like, I don't know, like an hour after work or something. And then we couldn't be there until like 15 minutes after that point. And he was like, well, if you're not here, I'm just leaving it. And it was like, okay.
He was like, okay. Come on now, friend. Like
being like a really aggressive about getting rid of this, like meeting me to transfer the couch.
It's a strange thing too, because like on the one hand, there is this sense of like, hey, we're getting a free couch. Like, who is generosity's umbrella over in this particular instance? Like,
yeah,
we're getting the free couch, we need to cater to him. But at the same rate, getting rid of furniture is an actual challenge. Like, making things go away is hard. At the same rate, the fact that we happen to have a truck that we could go and use to pick up this couch,
right?
Like, we were sort of doing him a solid,
right?
I think he was maybe under our generosity's umbrella.
I think so. Of which, he stepped outside. He got a little wet.
Oh, very, very frustrating. Interestingly, though, in the same vein of getting rid of large objects, when it came time for me to sell the love sacks on Craigslist, which in my career, what is the career? What would even be the right way to say this? In my life, I would say that I have been a part-time employee to Craigslist sales.
You're like a Craigslist hobbyist.
Yeah, like I have spent kind of a lot of time doing it.
Mm.
And I would say that like I've gotten okay-ish at it.
Yeah.
Like reasonably okay to kind of good.
Okay.
And when it came to the love sacks, it was a really interesting situation because getting rid of these things or making sure the person who was buying it fully understood how big it was.
Hard to do. Yeah.
And so there were a couple of instances where somebody was like, hey, I really want it. Will it fit in the back of my Nissan Maxima? And I was like, probably not, but if you want to try, I'm game.
Yeah.
And so I would say on multiple occasions, I had like a ready and willing buyer to like purchase it at, you know, 2/3 of what I bought it for. So, you know, I got several years of use out of it. Not a bad, you know, in terms of getting your money back. And there were these moments where literally I'm like outside with this gigantic, like if you take the cover off, it's just this big khaki blob,
right?
Which is like kind of unsightly. I remember taking like my crank straps and literally trying to crank strap the entire sack into the trunk of this dude's car.
Right.
And it's got like, it was hysterical. I mean, it looked like the car had like a tumor or something going out of it.
What a prank. Because when it arrives, isn't it like vacuum sealed?
It is vacuum sealed.
It would be such a prank to have a vacuum sealed love sack, put it in the back of a car, like a regular sedan.
And then cut it open.
Open it. And like, that's it. It's not coming out.
You would have to cut it out.
You're going to have to cut it out. Like, oh, what a prank it would be, man.
Who could we do this to?
Someone can have this.
Jordan, our office manager, Jordan.
Oh my gosh. That.
She has like a kind of small car too.
She does have like a kind of small car. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Jordan, don't listen to this part of the episode. Prank coming.
Love sack.
We love sacked your car. Well worth the $600.
That's right. No. This is a great... Well, okay. So I feel like when you buy it, doesn't it come with like the bag so that you can
re-shrink it? Okay. So it's actually like, yeah, it's one of those things where when it arrived the first time, there are these like flyers and paper and notices and all these things like on every step of the packaging as you're opening it, saying to it not tear the plastic bag that it came in.
Right.
So that if you ever wanted to transport it again, you could literally put the entire sack into this huge like mattress sized plastic bag, stick a vacuum into it, suck all the air out of it, and it will turn into this really weird looking like shriveled gigantic peanut.
Right.
And at that point in time, it's still big.
Yeah.
Like let's be real, like they use like industrial vacuums to make it somewhat reasonable, but it is considerably smaller by a very significant margin. But when I got mine, I was so excited about it that I tore right past all those pieces of paper on through, ripped the bag open, and then I was like, oh man. And then I actually, for like a while, I tried to track down a really big bag so I could do it again, but so many bags, very rightly so, have like holes cut in them specifically so they aren't like a choking hazard if like a child, you know, fell into it or something.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, it was hard to find something for this particular assignment, you know. To
surprised Lovesack couldn't send you.
In fact, I believe that they have a shrink kit and it came with like a larger bag that you could then put it into, but it was expensive. It was like $120 or something.
Like they're counting on your excitement ripping that first bag. They're exactly. Like, get them on the way in and on the way out.
Yeah, and I was not having it. Wow. There was no way in the world I was going to spend that money to accomplish that particular goal.
Now we got crankstraps,
which, by the way, that guy did not end up taking it because we couldn't get it in there. And then another guy shows up like 2 weeks later. We're in the Lowe's parking lot.
Okay.
And he is he has told his daughter that he was buying it for her birthday.
Oh no.
And it was like, all bets are off. We had to make it fit. Me and this guy are like, no joke, like using the like we call them like the oh crap handles, you know, like the handle that you might hang on to in a Jeep or something.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
that like
yeah.
if you're like going down a bumpy road, you can hang on.
Yeah.
We're like holding on to that, like standing with our feet pushing the Lovesack, if you can imagine, with the rest of our body like more on like the roof side of things, just like heaving this thing in there. It finally went in, and I, to this day, I've wondered whether or not he ever got it out of that
car. He just sold the car.
He just sold it. It's like I'm sorry,
that's
sweetie.
It.
I sort of succeeded and also failed.
I did get it to you. Hey, if you can get it out, it's all yours.
It's all yours.
It's all yours.
Enjoy.
Wow. So the who knew? Who knew moving a used sack could be such an endeavor?
Who knew that me impersonating you intentionally badly would result in what? How long?
Why did you reach for beanbag chairs?
I don't know.
That's not like an aspect of me at all.
I know. Well, I was trying to find something that was like, you know, maybe a little bit more ridiculous. To sort of so that people start associating you very heavily with beanbag chairs. I had an underlying mission, actually.
Oh, here. I see.
It's like, now that's going to be your snowball gift. Like, people are going to be like, man, Jay loves beanbag chairs.
They are not going to be like that. So, do not send me beanbag chairs.
Jay's going to have so many beanbag chairs. It's going to be amazing.
Absolutely not. I will go right out on the curb.
Right, so this fake impersonation of you led to approximately like a 15-minute conversation about beanbags.
Well, that's how podcasts work, I guess.
That was a big old gigantic tangent.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of gigantic blobs in your life, bring me up to speed on your cement project.
My concrete project.
Your concrete project.
There's a difference.
There is a difference.
Okay. Cement and concrete. One has gravel.
Ah, okay. Well, I'm learning so much already. Did you learn that on the forums? Did you post that on the main page?
On the boards?
And they're like,
please, can you direct this to the right page?
They're like, if you check the frequently asked questions page,
you would see the difference between concrete and cement. No, actually, I was accoladed in a email from a colonel out there for correctly using the term concrete instead of cement. That is where I learned.
Oh, so we made this mistake many times in the last pod.
No, we didn't. We were correctly using concrete the entire time.
Okay.
And somebody reached out to tell me that they were proud of me for doing the right thing.
Oh.
Actually, it was kind of amazing the number of people who reached out with advice about doing this concrete project. The more people in the PC community.
Wow.
Does that refer to something else already?
Political correctness.
Or pop
computers.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
PCs.
The PC community.
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't get to PC computers.
What?
I thought popcorn culture had like a hard stamp on.
What does PC stand for in your personal concrete?
No, popcorn culture.
Oh.
Popcorn P.
Okay,
culture
I gotcha.
C.
Yeah, that's the... Okay.
Is that right?
The PCC, right? I guess popcorn's one word.
Anyway, so a whole bunch of people in our little community here did reach out. They had lots of good advice for what I should do. Guys, I went for it.
Oh, so you did not hire someone?
I did not hire someone.
Okay.
I did not at all. I took everyone else's advice and not yours, which was to hire someone.
Thank you.
You're welcome. No, this was such a strange thing for me because like I like sort of in my like peripheral downtime throughout the day or, you know, in my evenings and stuff when I'm not playing Diablo 2, I've been really dedicating to my concrete research. research. And so I put together, like, you know, like Excel documents outlining like all the materials I would need, how much I would need,
right.
You know, all of the different like parameters involved.
Of course.
And it really was this like daunting thing for me, because any single commitment to the idea of doing this project meant that like, it was a point of no return.
Right.
Like, one of the things I had to do was order a ton and a half of gravel.
Wow.
Delivered to my home in order to put as like the base layer for my concrete pad.
Okay.
And a ton and a half of gravel is obviously very difficult to move, and it's going
right.
to be in the way if I don't use it.
Yeah, you just can't have like a 3,000-pound pile of rocks in your yard.
It's like a love sack, but even less comfortable. You can't fluff it at all.
No. We had a gravel driveway growing up, and I feel like to this day, I am able to stand barefoot on more uncomfortable surfaces than most people.
I would agree with that. Yeah. I actually think that much like we have said throughout the years that running cross country builds an enormous amount of character in high school, like highly recommend running cross country. I feel like growing up on a gravel driveway builds character.
You know?
It makes you a stronger person.
To this day, I do not know why no one ever paved that driveway.
Oh, me either.
I do not get it.
It really, I don't think that it would have been that expensive. And it, at the time growing up, to me, it was literally one of these things. Like when I went to friends' houses, I thought that they were like luxurious if they had, or that they were like, you know, rich if they had a paved driveway.
Right.
I was like, whoa,
look at this.
Man, we could never have
look
that.
Look at this. Do you know? I think the reason is because the driveway at our childhood home was a shared driveway between two houses.
Yeah.
And so it would involve coordinating payment, and I would bet that the other half of the people required didn't either have the funds or care, because they didn't have a car.
They didn't have a car. Mama Scott!
Yeah.
Our childhood babysitter.
Childhood babysitter.
Where I think we also learned how to be bored.
Oh, also true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. Anyway, I've driven past that house as an adult.
Yeah.
Still gravel.
Still to this day.
To this day.
No one has bit the bullet.
No one has decided to pave that driveway.
Should we put together like a crowdfunding campaign with the PC community? and just like randomly have like an asphalt truck show up at this house in Rocky Mount, Virginia.
Oh boy.
And have them just be like, you know, be like, guys, from us to you.
From us to you. All right. Let's
pave this thing.
Let's pave this thing.
It's never made sense.
Although
then any new children that live there wouldn't get to build that kind of character that we're talking about, which is so vital to eventually becoming YouTube sensations, apparently.
But think about how much easier it would be to play basketball in the driveway.
Do you remember? Okay, so that was the big thing. So Dad got us a basketball hoop, which was really great, except you can't dribble a basketball on gravel.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Do you remember we went out there with shovels and literally
and
like
brooms and stuff?
And
yeah.
Brooms, and we just scraped it all away until we had this hard packed dirt.
Yeah, that's what we did.
That we played on?
That we would play basketball on.
Yeah, that was the best.
That was pretty good.
I never got good at basketball ever. I would say that basketball is the number one thing that I have dedicated the most amount of hours of my life to without ever getting marginally better in any way.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Mm.
Like, I'm not sure that there's any other thing that I have spent so much time doing that I have not just become like acceptable at it.
Ah.
I would not have gotten an A on my OWL for basketball.
Interesting. You would have failed basketball.
What comes after A? So there's
exceeds expectations.
No. That comes after it the other way.
Oh.
What comes after it this way?
Poor?
Poor? I would have gotten a P.
Yeah. Okay, you'd have gotten a P.
I probably wouldn't have gotten a troll.
No.
No.
A little better than that.
A little better.
You can dribble.
I can dribble.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Sort of.
So, I don't want to brag, but like...
There you go.
I can make the ball.
There you go.
Leave my hand, hit the ground, return to my hand.
Basketball was like my outlet when we moved as kids, which at the time I was extremely upset about.
Yeah.
For a lengthy period of time. And like the only thing that like I would do to like deal with feeling, I guess I was pretty depressed that year, but I don't even think such an idea could have like that our parents even would have thought that
right.
was even like a possibility.
That it does seem like speaking on depression a little bit, it does seem like something that almost took me to adulthood to recognize the periods of time in my life that I was actively
right.
depressed.
Right.
But like it was never even like a conclusion that existed in my mind.
Right. It's like, yeah, yeah. So I would say that's how it was. My way of dealing with it was that I just played basketball a lot. So I got pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was fun. Although, still didn't make the team, which I am still salty about.
Dude.
To this day, I'm like, I go back and I'm like, because I think about those tryouts and I'm like, I don't know what happened.
Oh,
like,
I know.
You know?
No, I'm salty for you. I remember that. Like, this was like one of those things where you were trying out for the basketball team. And there have been many of these moments in my life, but like where you were off doing something like independent. And I like, my amount of worry for you was so significant. Like, where I was always like, I was like, I hope he's okay out there. Like, I was so worried about something happening to you during these moments where you would go and like do things independently from the family. Like, I don't know why. I feel like it.
Like trying out for basketball, you mean?
Yeah, like trying out for basketball. Like, it just seemed like there was so much bravery involved with this idea of like going out and doing something.
Mm.
And maybe it's because like I've just like followed in footsteps a lot my whole life. Okay. That the idea of like going off and doing something that is like uncharted territory is like, I don't know. Maybe I can't even comprehend what it would be like to be the oldest child, because so many of the things that I do were things that you did prior, and then I just continue to do them.
Well, you know what, Ben? I never laid a pad of concrete.
Exactly, exactly. And you know what? I felt like I was in, I don't even know. I felt like I was free falling a little bit, you know?
Free falling?
Like, it was like there was no backup plan, no parachute.
There really isn't, though, when it sounds like you're dealing with that amount of soon to be hardened
material.
Yeah.
And so that was exactly it. So that was my several like points of no return, is like, you have to do these things, and you have to do them enough in advance so that the materials can get to you, you know, so that like you can have everything happen on the Saturday.
Right.
Where we can do the plan.
Right.
Where I had like recruited a friend to help me,
yeah.
You know, who like was able to help facilitate things and all that. And throughout this entire day though, yeah, that's what happened. So I had the gravel delivered, and it's like, once the gravel's there, it's like, well, now we're doing it. So then I go and buy 6,000 pounds of concrete.
So you're, if I'm doing some math here, you've got about 8.5 tons of, 6,000, that's three tons, and you have 2.5 tons. You have
like 1.5 tons.
So you have
4.5 tons.
4.5 tons of materials you're dealing with.
Yeah, 4.5 tons of material. And I have to go and rent a concrete mixer, which I, you know, don't know much about doing. Turns out super, it was $45 for the whole weekend. I thought that was a screaming bargain.
Wow, you could have made a sidewalk too.
I know, I could have. Should have, maybe. Except the problem is the 6,000 pounds of concrete came in 80-pound bags.
Yeah.
And I had to move them 4 times. You know, it's like from the shelf at the store onto the cart at the store, from the cart onto the back of my truck, from the back of my truck to in front of my house, and then from in front of my house into the mixer.
Right.
And so like picking up an 80-pound bag, I did it, you know, 600 times, never got easier.
Yeah, I don't imagine so.
It, like every single time, it's like, man, 80 pounds is so heavy.
Right.
Like unrelentingly heavy.
Yeah, it's a big kettlebell.
So anyway, like we built our form out of, you know, big 2x6s. We laid all the gravel in there. We figured out like a mechanism for not using rebar, which was using this like big sheets of like metal grid, which is so that like if the concrete moves, it's supposed to move as one instead of like cracking. Hopefully, we'll see. But yeah, all of these things, like every single time you pull the trigger, it was just like, well, now we have to go for it. And finally started doing it, and then it started pouring rain.
Right.
Which is like the worst thing for this particular project, because as concrete is settling, it's like any small like droplet or cat that walks across it or a leaf that fell on it like is now a permanent part of the infrastructure of effectively your entire property.
Right.
Which all of those things happened.
Oh, a cat walked across it?
Cat walked across it.
Oh, no.
Which I actually did have like a small panic attack about, because I did not think about the idea of like, there are like skunks in our neighborhood. There are cats. The potential for even one of my dogs to go out there. Like, I was like, what would happen if it was like thick set concrete and the animal got stuck? I had this like panic attack the next morning after I knew that the concrete had perfectly settled and nothing happened. But I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that potential problem.
What
like,
if I had walked out here and there was a skunk stuck to my concrete?
Right. And like, I would feel so bad for the skunk.
Yeah, I bet it would spray you.
I bet it would.
Yeah.
If it had not already
sprayed.
Yeah, which,
that's a bad smell.
So anyway, we fortunately, that didn't end up being a problem. Now I have a shiny, slightly irregular surfaced concrete slab in my backyard.
Bravo.
Yep. And that's only really step one of like 13 on my quest to having my backyard gym. So.
Wow. There you go. Well, we'll have to keep up with your like concrete corner or
concrete
whatever.
Jungle.
Yeah, concrete jungle.
Yeah.
Welcome to Ben's concrete jungle.
Maybe I'll make a sign for it.
Yeah.
Like stick it in the ground with like a little picket.
Sounds good. We'll have to check back in on your progress for that.
Popcorn Culture is supported by Arena Club.
Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all-time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me, it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paperclip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see. But you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, checking on progress for you. You've been walking 10,000 steps a day.
Mm.
How's that going?
Not good.
Not good?
Not good.
What happened?
Well, let me tell you. I have twins, and that's what happened.
You have twins.
I have twins.
It's interesting how frequently twins is the reason.
Yes,
right now.
It turns out that having three young children really puts just a lot of obstacles in the way of so many things you might want to do.
Are you finding any kind of like thinking about mom and dad who also had three boys? Like, are there any moments where you're looking back and you're like, man, how did they pull that off?
I do think about it because our dad worked for the local TV station as like the news anchor.
Right.
And so he did like the 5 and the 6 and the 11 or whatever.
Right.
When we were kids.
And we lived in we lived in Rocky Mount, like we were saying before, which was, you know, 40 minutes from
the station.
Right, yeah. So yeah. He had a bit of a commute.
A bit of a commute as well. But what that all adds up to is that on a typical, like, school day sort of thing, that it would just be, like, mom in the evenings most of the time.
Right.
Right? So, yeah, I do think, like, man, if it was just me with, like, on most days, just me and Luke and Nick and Nate, that would be so much work. Like, I don't know how it would happen. Although, it is a slightly different circumstances because mom and dad never would have had 2 infant children at the same time, which is what I am presently dealing with.
That's true.
And by the time Tyler would have been born, I guess I would have been old enough to either help or entertain myself in a more consistent way.
Sure. Yeah. The golden child, as they called you.
Well, I don't think anyone called me that.
I think it was just all the time. It was like, Jonathan, the golden child, loves beanbag chairs. Can't get him out of them.
I'm pretty sure as kids, you were the one with the beanbag chair.
Did I have a beanbag chair?
I'm pretty sure you had some, like, ugly purple one and maybe a soccer ball one in your room.
I do kind of remember the purple one now that you say it. Strangely, I also remember this one time we went to Walmart and Mom let us both buy blankets. And they were kind of like these,
like... I know the blankets.
They're like these kind of woven yarn blankets. And you picked a green one.
Yep.
And I picked a purple one.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know why.
What was I thinking?
I don't. You had that blanket forever.
Like years and years.
Who knew? Like, that's, I guess as a child, yeah, when you purchase something like blanket, permanent, pretty blanket. Much that's part of your identity.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the most constant things in your life is your bedding.
I would be, no, for sure. I would be willing to bet that I owned that blanket for no less than 15 years.
Mm.
Like,
it's a long time.
It was a long, long time.
I also remember that evening when, for some reason, yeah, I was like, we were allowed to buy blankets or something.
Right.
Like, did mom go into the store intending to buy blankets? Or was it... Yeah, what happened?
I don't know. I've thought about that on so many different occasions. There was this one time we've talked about, I believe now we've called them poofs. Like the sponges that you use for cleansing yourself. Like
Loofahs.
Yeah. We've talked about, I think some people call them body mops, which...
That's the worst word.
It is the worst word.
I'm just imagining just the end of a mop.
Right,
that
I know.
Instead of using on the floor,
it feels like
you'd be rubbing an octopus on yourself.
Yeah, it's like, it's the same exact object, but if you call it a body mop, it feels dirtier.
It is dirtier.
So there was this one occasion as a kid, and like, I was that kid who would go to the store and I feel like I would ask mom, like, can I get a whatever?
Yeah.
Like, can I get a slingshot? No.
You had a knack for asking for just the wrong thing.
Apparently. Yeah. But all the time, every time I asked, you know, it's like, I think that everybody thought growing up that I was asking these questions knowing that the answer was going to be no.
Mm-hmm.
Mom literally called them. She would say, don't ask no questions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the answer is going to be no. And I don't think I did. I think that, like, most of the time my mind was like 3 steps ahead, like knowing what I wanted to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like acquiring the slingshot, for example, was just like a vital step in me being able to get to like the much further along the line goal.
Uh-huh.
So like, to me, if anything, it would have been the much further along the line thing that I thought I would have been met with opposition on, not the acquisition of the essentials towards getting to that point.
What did you want to do with a slingshot?
Okay, so growing up, we were really big into that book, like My Side of the Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
And
great
I
book where I, a teenager goes and lives in the wood and tames a falcon.
It tames a falcon. He doesn't just live in the woods, Jay. He lives in the woods.
Yes.
Like, he carves out a tree. Yeah. And he has this like neat little setup. And I think as a kid, there is nothing that I wanted more than to be able to live in a tree on my own, go out and hunt with my falcon. Maybe get a little bit of like Hatchet. You remember that book Hatchet?
Oh yeah.
I wanted some of those elements in there. And so, yeah, no, like in my mind, it's like, I'm reading these books, I'm being exposed to these ideas. Like, surely these are things I am allowed to do.
Mm.
And that was just
didn't
like
draw that line.
Not at all. Not at all. It's like, why would you draw lines? That seems like a terrible way to achieve goals. Like, why say no? Anyway, all that to say, there was this one day that we were at Walmart, and I remember asking Mom, and this was the same thing as the blankets, like, why didn't she buy us blankets? There was this sponge that was like a sponge that looked like it would have come from the ocean, but it was used as like a body cleanser.
Oh, right. Like a really rough.
Like a really rough, yeah. But yeah, it looked like a, like a sea actual, sponge. Like a sea sponge, exactly. And I was like, Mom, can I get that sea sponge? And she was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, what? No way. And I remember being so excited to get to go home and use that sponge.
Use the sponge.
It ended up being the worst.
I was going to say, I think I remember that sponge, and I don't think it was nice.
It was not nice. It was not nearly as good as a poof.
Yeah.
A loofah.
A loofah.
A poofah.
A poofah. That's right. Do you know, this is going to sound like, this is one of those Carlin family words that I don't think, that you don't realize doesn't exist outside the family.
I think I know exactly,
you know exactly where I'm going with this.
It's making me, it's, I'm like, my like hands are feeling electric right now because I'm about to be embarrassed. Go ahead.
No. It's not embarrassed. I'm laughing so much thinking about it. Okay, it's the word for farting. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking
about. So I don't know in what way our family arrived at this word, but we would call it...
You can't even say it, can you?
I'm laughing so much. Puff?
Puff. Oh, it's so painful to
like,
you. It's
who like, puffed?
That's the thing. Like, I remember Mom being in the car with three boys, and we'd be on these road trips. Like, our entire extended family lives in New York State, and so we would have these, like, 8-9 hour drives, and we would, like, you know, get fast food or whatever, and we'd be driving down the road, and all of a sudden, the entire minivan would smell horrid, and Mom would be like, okay, who puffed?
But I think about it, though, it's still the exact right word. It is exactly the word.
Oh, my gosh.
It is such a better word than fart.
It is. It is, it is a better word than fart.
Yeah.
Was this something like, do you remember learning, or was there ever a moment like where you would have said this like in front of Beth? And she would have been like, what is that word?
I don't know. Oh boy, I'm like snorting laughing. I wouldn't have thought it was just a family word, but I'm not sure I used it outside the family either. I think it occurred to me one day because maybe I was trying to use it, but it was like over like AOL or something, like on Instant Messenger.
Okay.
And it occurred to me that I didn't know how to spell it. And let me ask you, how do you think you spell puff?
Ooh, how do you spell it?
Like, I know!
Like,
there's no
P-U-F?
Way to...
P-U-F?
That's puff.
The P-U-F-F would be like a cheese puff. Right?
Puff, yeah. But like, you know what I mean? I had this problem, and I was like, how do you spell puff?
P-U-H-F?
And
then it was like,
and then, that sounds right.
Puff.
It sounds like a little too much. But I was like, it was one of those, like, I don't know how to spell it. And no matter what combination of like P-O-O-F, P-U-F-F, P-U-U-F, it was like, none of these look right. And there is like, in the process is like, should I even, it's like you're embarrassed to look it up.
Oh yeah,
even
yeah.
Even if you're sitting alone in your room, like, how do you spell puff? And then it was like, this isn't a word sort of thing. It's like, you can't find how to spell it because it's not a word. It's just a sound our family made to describe farts.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I guess you're right. It's one of those things that we grew up with, and it was so ingrained, and it always felt so right. It was like, it's like a word that sounds like what it is.
It is. It is. What is that? Is that onomatopoeia? Is that what that is? A word that sounds like what it is? That sounds
ish.
Ish. Correct.
Like if there was a comic book strip that needed to express the character farting, it could say puff.
Right.
If you knew how to spell it.
But no one does.
Right. But no one does. That's part of the fun.
That's part of the fun.
It can't be in the dictionary because by definition, it cannot be spelled.
Can't be spelled. It's just, I want to know how people are imagining you spell poof.
Or really, if there's any other living person out there who hasn't given up on us by this point.
Yeah.
Who also used this word? Or, like, is it possible, like, that it could be manifested? Like, it's not, like, a completely wrong word.
It's possible it could be manifested as well, but I would be curious to also know what are words your own family came up with that you only later learned in life
that were not words.
Were not words.
Yeah. Okay, that's a really good question. So if you have the answer to that question in any way, shape, or form, be sure to email your responses to popcornculturepod@gmail.com.
Yes, I'm very curious.
Yeah,
hopefully it was something more distinguished than farts.
What's more distinguished than that?
I don't know.
It doesn't.
It was like
better.
Mom needed a polite way to describe poofs.
Poofs. I always remember. Really, what I can't get out of my head more than anything is the minivan had these back rear windows that would both open up like vents.
Yeah.
And Mom had this like control, and I swear, Mom used those rear vents on that minivan more than any other living person who has ever driven a Dodge minivan Sport.
Probably.
I mean, it was like I can't believe they didn't have to be replaced at some point in time.
Yeah.
Like, she was all about it. They were always in use.
There were other minivans as a kid that didn't have the electronic opening rear vents. You had to, like, press them open.
Oh.
That seems like a bad idea.
You know who would never have done it? Our little brother, Tyler.
Well, weirdly, I've thought about this before. And on road trips, you would think the pecking order, based on our birth order for where people would sit, would be that you and I would have gotten the captain's chairs in the minivan because we're older.
You
and
would
Tyler
think that.
Would have gotten crammed in the back.
Yes.
But
yes.
Instead.
It's funny you bring it up because it has always felt that way.
Okay. But it's interesting to me because my impression was that you desired the back.
Okay. So I think really what happened here was a strange circumstance.
Okay.
Because when we were first kids, we had a bench in the middle of the minivan.
Right.
And so it
like
was
a half bench.
Like a half bench.
Yeah.
So the sliding door would open and in front of you was this like half bench where two people could sit.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was still the third row where I would usually sit. And as a young kid, I do think that I thought that the back seat was better because then I didn't have to sit directly next to either of you.
Oh, right.
which I was like, okay. And I was really small.
Yeah.
Was the other thing too. So like me going into that back seat, like I had plenty of room. Like I could sleep.
Yeah.
I could usually find a way to like stretch and like lay out.
Mm-hmm.
But then Mom, I think around like 2003, bought like a new minivan that had the captain chairs.
Right.
And because I had already defined my seat in the van for so many years of my life as that back seat, that's just where I continue to be, despite the fact that I was like 14 at this point.
Right.
You know, and like on my way to being a 6 foot tall person.
Right. Meanwhile, Tyler got the other captain's chair. Yeah.
And usually Tyler had no regard for leaning back. So like, you couldn't lean back.
I couldn't because all of the stuff in the car was crammed up against the back of my seat because it wasn't on top of you.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, so Tyler could lean back. So that, I think that's really when it became the worst. And the worst was when we would go for Christmas and we'd have all these boxes that were like wrapped for, you know, gifts for our cousins and grandparents and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'd be sitting in this lone chair in the way, way back where I couldn't hear anybody talking. And the speaker was blocked. So we had like a DVD player, but the speaker was blocked because it was mounted to the left-hand side of the car and all of our luggage was in front of it.
Right.
So barely any sound would even get back to me. So I'm in this dark corner and if like Mom, you know, like turned off the road or whatever to you know, stop for gas, all of the packages would just come sliding on top of me. And I would just like, you know, I'd be like asleep and like wake up and just have like 15 packages like literally covering me. It was not my favorite
man
at all.
I sat directly behind the driver in both vans and it was great.
I bet it was all that leg room.
Yeah. You know who can't lean back though? The driver.
Yeah. That's yeah.
So if you were in the right-hand captain seat, I guess the passenger in the front could lean back if they wanted to like watch the movie or whatever.
So maybe that's really what it was. Yeah. Tyler was leaning back because Mom or Dad was leaning back, which meant that I was just buckled in.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's what you get for choosing the back seat.
I didn't choose it. It chose me.
I'm better. I like the back.
At least I don't like beanbag chairs. Yeah, I feel like we've talked about so many different means of uncomfortable sitting in this particular episode. People are going to be like in their chairs listening, being like, man, I'm kind of uncomfortable right now.
Oh, no. I've laughed really hard during this episode.
That's good. That's good. Hopefully everybody else is at home. Actually, this has been really, I think, an interesting evolution of this particular podcast. And I don't know if this is actually a category, but I think it's maybe where I would advertise. Like, if people wanted to tell their friends to listen to this podcast, like, I've wondered before, like, what would they say? Because we don't come on here and, like, uncover some type of, you know, really interesting mystery about something that exists in the world. You know, it's not like, oh, you got to listen to this podcast. Like, they explain why telemarketing works and it's really interesting, you know, like.
Oh, right.
Like.
Yeah, we're not like Freakonomics over here.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're not cereal.
We're definitely not cereal. But so the category that I think that this podcast has evolved into from what I thought it would be, which would be like talking more about like our theories and fan theories and stuff like that for the Super Carlin Brothers YouTube channel, is called easy listening. And I feel like that's what we've evolved into. We've become like the people that it's like they're here with us, you know, and they're just
talking,
like,
to the little kernels.
Talking to the little kernels, you know, they're just they're sitting here at this IKEA table with us.
Yep.
And it's like we're just having a good quality chat.
Well, I hope you're all enjoying the chat.
The chat. Yeah. Actually, what I would really like to do is, you know how Dear Hank and John always have that, like, something is burning, because they imagine everybody, like, like, they imagine that everybody listens to the podcast while they're cooking.
Right.
And so occasionally, like, they want to, like, you know,
remind
people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like we need something like that.
Right. We got, like, what are we distracting people from that they need to go check on?
Right. Right. So maybe that's really a question we post. We'll do some market research to determine.
Right.
So when do you listen to the pop? I feel like driving.
I feel like, well, I don't listen back to our own. I will occasionally end up listening to our own podcast back because Beth listens to it.
Oh, weird.
Yes. Yes. You'd think she got enough of me already.
But no.
But
she opts to listen to your voice.
She opts for more. Hi, babe. How you doing? Which does Alice listen to the pop?
She, I think in the beginning, she did as like a I'm going to be supportive of his new project type of thing.
Right.
And then I think three episodes in, it was kind of like, I'm
behind. Get it.
I could never catch up at this point. It's like, no, there's no rolling story. You don't need to have read all of them.
Don't worry.
And she's like, still. Still.
No, Beth and I were talking about the pop, and she said what's surprising to her is, one, how often she's like, I think maybe I reveal things that she didn't know about me before, or
weird.
Like new stories or things, and then often how whenever we're on like two sides of an argument, how often she will like agree on your side of things, and I'm like,
yes,
ouch.
Yes.
Unacceptable.
Acceptable. Outstanding, Beth. We totally got this.
I think you guys
can believe him in that beanbag chair obsession? I mean, really.
You're the one who owned beanbag chairs. Ben, the amount of beanbag chairs you owned couldn't fit in the room we're sitting in.
And one of them was purple.
And one of them... Yes. Yeah.
Goodness me.
We actually do have a beanbag chair upstairs in our office. Our Snorlax-shaped beanbag chair.
We do have a Snorlax-shaped beanbag chair. That's a good point. We had it for our Giveathon 1 year.
Yeah. But never sit in it.
No, nope. Never.
Uncomfortable.
Okay, so last quick topic here, because I've sort of been having this... I feel like it's strange. Like, I feel like my mind is, like, resisting the conclusion that I, like, keep coming to. And it is that, like, I'm slowly acclimating to like the quarantined life.
Okay.
Like, which is to say that, like, I think, do you remember in Survivor, I think once upon a time they had this phrase, the devil I know, like, I prefer the devil I know versus the unknown, basically.
Right.
Like I know this is a known adversary and I'm okay with that because I'm familiar with the workings of it.
Right.
Which is better than introducing a new villain with unknown variables.
Right.
And so I feel like there's kind of been this, like, strange phenomenon happening for me where as time has gone on, I've, like, established a new routine at home, and I feel like I've kind of gotten used to, like, working from home and, like, what it looks like. And I've, like, really, for the first time, like, set up a proper office that, like, I'm using effectively and consistently. And I'm, like, I'm comfortable in the space. I have a window right in front of me. Like, everything about it is slowly starting to feel like I'm resisting the idea of that noise. warm,
right,
like, going away all of a sudden.
Where
like at first I was like, man, I do not want to be at home by myself all day, every day, and not be around, like, you know, the people that I like working with and being able to exchange ideas. And I was like, I was really dreading this phenomenon of just being home alone every day. But now I feel like I've slowly gotten used to it, and it's like, this kind of works.
Excuse me.
Have you had that? I mean, I guess like you're so full tilt right now with having twins at home that you're probably not experiencing the same kind of like maybe potential downtime in this that maybe I am.
Yeah, not entirely at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a very weird transition for me from pre-quarantine life to quarantine life, because it started almost simultaneously with the twins arriving home.
Right.
So there was like a 1 week or so period, I think, where we had decided to stop coming into the office full time, and both the twins were still in the NICU, and like Beth was just at home and could watch Luke.
Right.
So we had like 1 week or so of that. And so I had like a very brief taste of what that normal might have looked like.
Right.
And I will say that I felt like I was really productive in those times. But for me, I don't know how different it would be anyway. I guess if I was, it'd be weird to think, I don't know, because we had initially planned for me to be off for about 3 weeks anyway.
Right, like you sort of had like paternity leave on the horizon, which is so weird to think about now. Yeah. Even. Like Seamus was here. Like we had this whole, our friend Seamus Gorman was going to like come and help step in for the YouTube channel while you were going to be out. And then instead, everyone was just out.
Yeah, and then everyone was just out. So it was very weird, because it was supposed to be this like, okay, this transitionary period where, you know, me and Beth were just at home alone and adjusting to having three kids all of a sudden, and that would last for, you know, about 3 weeks, and then I would sort of return to full-time work, and her mom was gonna, you know, she'd put up a bunch of leave and stuff, and so she could sort of take over. We were gonna have, you know, it was gonna be like a nice gradual thing, and then it was just, nope, everyone's off, and now it's like, I can't even imagine what our home life would look like if I was still having to come into the office all day for like a regular work day.
Right,
time.
Sure.
Like, I don't
sure.
know. I can't. It's like, it's hard to know what that would look like, because I've never had, since all three kids have been home, we haven't had full time hours.
Right.
You know? And it's right. just like, man, I don't. It's weird to think about. And yeah, so I don't know. I don't think I'm having this problem as much as other people, which I think a lot of people are starting to have that sort of conclusion. You are, that like they're maybe like settling into this normalcy, or resisting it becoming a normal thing, or something like that.
There's this sense of, and I don't like all elements of it. I mean, I do miss my friends, and it is like hard not being able to go and like see the twins. You know, I've only seen them once since they've been alive.
I know.
And which is like unbelievable to me.
I know. They're 2 months now.
Right. So there's tons of things about it, but I think what it comes down to is this part of my brain that like can't quite register if it is okay liking something about the circumstances, because the circumstances are otherwise kind of like, you know, introduced to us for dire reasons.
Ah, you're having like a Tony Stark problem here.
To explain that.
Well, so after in Endgame, 5 years after the snap, Tony has, you know, a daughter and a life that he likes, and he's retired from Iron Manning.
Yes. Yes,
and
that is exactly what it's like.
They're like, we figured out how to fix it. And he's like, I kind of have a good thing going here.
Right, right, right. Yeah. So maybe that's the kind of conundrum that you're faced with. And it's interesting. And I think the other big portion of it, and we may have talked about this a little bit, but Allie and I talk about it a lot, is this sense that like maybe the rat race that you don't ever realize you're participating in has been kind of like put on pause a little bit, where it's like it's almost like there is like a general really understood reason why you wouldn't be making like massive progress to the tune of the idea of like, you know, how are you doing at life and the major accomplishments and milestones you're supposed to be hitting and being interesting and being active and going fun places and seeing all the people you're supposed to see. Like the amount of pressure that I feel like has almost felt like it has been like relieved by not feeling like all of those things have to be done on like a regular basis. Maybe that's the exact word. Like it has provided like some relief for like the amount that my brain is typically spinning on all of those things at once.
Right. So that I think is going to be the interesting like fallout post-quarantine, whenever that is, but it definitely will happen, is that, yeah, everyone collectively has sort of had this time to realize, like, to, like, slow down and, like, reassess everything.
There's been a lot of, like, time for reflection.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of time for reflection and stuff, and it'll be very, I'm very curious to see, like, what things from before don't return. Like, yeah. You realize, like, all the stuff you maybe were doing that now, that you kept doing, but now that you've been forced to stop, you realize that's okay.
Right.
You know, like, you've been forced to stop a lot of stuff, and a lot of people have found that they have been able to walk through that tunnel and come out and be like, oh, even without whatever this thing is, I'm still fine. This is still okay. I can, maybe it's even better.
Right.
So it's like, there's a lot of, you're right, there's a lot of pressure removed from a lot of situations that I don't think the pressure will come hammering down on everything again once everyone kind of returns to normal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I think that has been one of the things that I wouldn't even say I'm struggling with it, but I think I have a hard time articulating it.
Yeah.
Like, is this phenomenon of, like, you know, there are elements that are, you know, that I know that I miss, and maybe the reason that it's not paining me more is because I'm certain they will return. You know, like the opportunities to, you know, see my friends or go on vacation or,
right,
you know, all of that. But no, it's interesting. It's very interesting. So that might be my last and final question is there anybody who feels like they've adapted okay to the circumstances in a way that, like, is reasonably comfortable, I guess.
Right.
Also, have you opened TikTok?
No.
You haven't?
Still haven't opened it.
Goodness me. It is a real treat.
Yeah.
I still feel like we should start up, me, you, and our younger brother, Tyler, just start up a platform. What I almost love about it is that it almost feels like a social media platform that, like, is done with the intention of being fun and not monetized.
Ah.
So it would be like, we just do it.
It's just goof.
It's just three brothers try to do all the TikToks.
All the dances.
Everything.
There's everything.
There's plenty of things. Yes. Yes. Who is the sister, John Ralphio's sister in Parks and Rec?
Mona Lisa.
Is that her name? Is Mona Lisa?
Her name in the show.
Right. She's the voice of, like, Marcel the Shell.
Yeah.
Marcel the Shell with shoes on.
There's
a clip. I don't even know if it's from Parks and Rec, but it is, like, Allie and I both have it stuck in our head right now. This is what I'm going to end on. Is this one particular TikTok, like, voiceover that people use, and it's just Mona Lisa saying, "Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. And it's like, it's so funny, like, the different ways that people apply this particular soundbite to the TikTok world.
Beth has 1,000 ideas for TikTok. She's like, "Oh, we should do this. Oh, we should." And I'm like, "Those are all, man, those sound pretty good. Yeah, we should do those.
We should do that."
My problem with the quarantine is that, like, I feel like I have so many ideas for stuff I want to do and that I just am unable to act on because every waking moment is spent taking care of the children.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, it's frustrating. Even things that wouldn't require lots of effort. I keep seeing trailers and advertisements for the recently released Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah.
And Ben, like, all I've wanted for a decade, I was like, I can't wait for them to remake this game so I can, like, finally play it, because I never had, like, the hardware to play it before.
Sure.
And it's like, they finally do it. And I don't, like, it's just like, even to casually play through it feels impossible.
Oh, you know? because like, it would be wrong to be dedicating 40 hours to playing Final Fantasy.
Right. It's when? Like, or not even wrong. She's like, when?
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 Ah.
Parenthood. When am I gonna have how? Like, it just...
Well, you could cut out some of your beanbag lounging time.
Ben, you think I have beanbag lounging time?
Well.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to assume what remained as priorities.
Yeah, yeah. I can tell you for sure that outside of the Snorlax in our office, I do not own a beanbag.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's what they all say.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. If you would like to tune into the After the Final Pop, which is just an extra 10 minutes of Jay and I talking, that is available over on our Patreon, where you can go to patreon.com/popcornculture. We have 3 tiers. All of them have the exact same rewards. There's just really you voting. Either Team Jazzy J to be host, Team Buzzy B to be host, or Team No Host. What? I hope that never happens.
What?
If you guys vote for that, I'm literally going to play the opening jingle, and then it's just going to be silence for 15 seconds, and you have done it to yourselves. So
there you go.
Anyway, but if you want to check that out, we certainly appreciate it. Otherwise, guys, until next time.
Poof, poof.